College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we will be joined by St. John's head coach Chris Mullen. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also, I want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And in today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast, being brought to you by our good friends at ZipRecruiter. Hiring, every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day, and ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/CHT. That's ZipRecruiter.com/CHT. ZipRecruiter.com/CHT. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now that you're all set with ZipRecruiter, let's get to my main thoughts from the weekend. And I've got to tell you, 7 days ago, I sat here behind this microphone and talked about Virginia, Villanova, and Purdue looking like three teams that were a cut above the rest in college basketball. And how could you argue 7 days ago with that notion? Villanova, despite losing Phil Booth for a couple of games, was still keeping things on point. Business was moving along as usual in Philadelphia on the main line. Virginia was Virginia, and Purdue looked like a Big Ten team comparable to the one we saw at Wisconsin in 14-15 when Bo Ryan and company went to back-to-back Final Fours. And since that time, since 7 days ago, Villanova lost at home to a St. John's team that was 0-11 in the Big East. Virginia lost at home to an unranked Virginia Tech team. And Purdue lost twice, albeit against two ranked teams in Ohio State and Michigan. Both games were close, but they lost twice. So I think right now, and it's hard to say this because so much over the next month is going to be based on who is playing well to earn what seeds in the NCAA tournament, but I think right now, when you look at things for March, I think seeds could be meaningless in this NCAA tournament. I think matchups will determine everything. Because right now, when you look at the field, I don't see a team like 2012 Kentucky with Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I don't see a team like Wisconsin in 2015 with Kaminsky and Decker. I don't see a team like Duke in 2015 with Okafor, Winslow, Tyus Jones, and Quinn Cook. I see parity, and I see minimal levels of separation. Look at the teams we just talked about. Purdue, Virginia, Villanova, all projected to be number one seeds in what we saw on Sunday on CBS with the early release of the top 16 seeds in the NCAA tournament. But you're telling me in a round of 32 game, those teams wouldn't have issues potentially with a team like Alabama, who would be an 8 seed, a team like Florida State, who would be an 8 seed, a team like Texas A&M, who could be a 7 or 8, who won at Auburn last week, a feat that no team in college basketball has accomplished this season. Throw in a team like Virginia Tech, who has already beaten Virginia in Charlottesville. And the NCAA tournament, as we know, is played on a neutral court. So I think when you look right now, and you really think about the NCAA tournament, when you really document the struggles that we've seen this season in times at Kentucky, at Duke, at North Carolina, Kansas, and UCLA, there is no better season for a non-blue blood to win a national championship. If you're Chris Mack at Xavier, if you're Mick Cronin at Cincinnati, if you're Mark Few at Gonzaga, even though this Gonzaga team isn't nearly as good as the rendition we saw last year that came up just short against North Carolina national title game, if you're a non-blue blood, this is your time. Last week was St. John's time, and all of a sudden, it feels like there's a revival going on right now in Jamaica, Queens. How did it happen? Chris Mullen, the head coach of the Red Storm, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. St. John's has won three games in a row now, two straight in the Big East, and the head coach of the Red Storm is Chris Mullen. He joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And Chris, there's an old stigma that there's nothing like winning in New York. How much has that been reiterated because of the buzz that you've seen after only three straight wins?
Yeah, everyone loves a winner, John. We all know that. More so in New York. And after a really, really tough January, you know, the players hung in there. We just kept our focus, kept our positive attitude. And, you know, a lot of those games were very similar, two-possession games, just didn't play well enough at the end. And we turned that around and had some great wins. And I'll tell you what, like I said, after a tough January, it feels so much better.
Now, you mentioned a tough January. Your team had an 11-game losing streak. I'm curious for you personally, how did going through difficult times as a coach compare to when you might have been on a team as a player that was on a losing streak?
Yeah, John, it's always tougher. You know, I was a GM for a while, and then as a coach now, when you kind of you can't really control a whole lot what's going on at the moment. So I think you internalize a lot after the game, and you're always second guessing yourself and wishing you can do more or do something different. As a player, you know you're going back out there. You know you have the ball in your hands, or you can set a good screen or get a rebound. So I think you're letting out that physical energy as well. When you're on the sidelines or up in the box as a GM, you really just kind of internalize so much more. And, you know, the lack of control kind of drives you crazy.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you, because in so many of these games, it's a one or two possession game in the last 3 or 4 minutes. What has it been like for somebody who was such a great player to watch a team be one or two plays away from winning a game and coming up short so many times?
Well, first and foremost, a lot of those teams we were playing, we felt fortunate to be in that position. You know, we felt we played well up until that point. And then, look, if you miss free throws, you miss some layups, you got to deal with that. That's okay. But when it happens, when it continually happens in a row, it can set you back a bit. But the players did a really good job staying positive. You know, we look at the film, be very transparent, you know, applaud the things we did well. And then the things we didn't, try to correct them. And it took a little while to get that positive reinforcement with the W. But we were resolute and disciplined. And hopefully this can continue. The momentum continues.
Well, and you were also very resilient. And, you know, after you beat Villanova, some of your players came out and credited you for that. And you have to be resilient to beat teams like Duke, Villanova, two teams that are going to be high seed in the NCAA tournament, Marquette, another team that's right on the bubble. I'm curious, who taught Chris Mullen how to be resilient?
First and foremost, my parents. You know, my mom and dad were, you know, hardworking blue collar, you know, Brooklyn people. And my dad worked at Kennedy Airport for 28 years and went to work and provided for his five kids. Never complained. You know, we didn't have the greatest life in the world, but we enjoyed each other. And more importantly, probably, you know, basketball wise, Coach Carnesecca, Don Nelson, Larry Bird was a big influence. When I played for Larry for 3 years, the one thing I really appreciated what he did, when we won, if we didn't play well, he was as angry then as if we, you know, lost and played well. He was very transparent on how we played, not just the outcome. And I try to be like that with my players. You know, we've had some early wins when we didn't play well. You know, we played Central Florida in Orlando. That last possession, we gave a free wide-open three-point shot. We wanted to win the game, but I was really upset. You know, first of all, I wanted to foul on the way up. We didn't, and then we gave them three open looks. We won the game. I don't think we played well. I addressed that then. Some of those things came back to bite us in the month of January. But again, we were very transparent and honest, looked at the film, and then moved on from it.
St. John's head coach Chris Mullin joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Red Storm have won three straight games. They will next play at DePaul in the middle of this week. You know, Chris, you mentioned Larry Bird, who you played for in the Indiana Pacers. What parts of he have you used as a head coach here at St. John's?
I think the work ethic. You know, we have a press break we call Bird. I named it after Larry. And back then, we were on the NBA teams. Every shoot-around, we went over a press break. And not many NBA teams, you know, press. But Larry had certain things he would always make sure we covered, no matter what, whether we needed it or not. He was just very fundamental. Be on time, work hard, be unselfish, and we'll live with the results.
Now, you played for Larry in the latter part of your career, and obviously in the early part of career in Golden State, you played for Don Nelson. You've started to see, if you watch your team the last couple of games, you see on the offensive end of the floor a team playing with great confidence and a team that's playing loose. How much is that a reflection of what you learned in Golden State under Don Nelson?
A lot. So much. I take a lot from Don Nelson. I thought his innovative offensive mind is unmatched. Going at mismatches, playing small, playing fast. And you mentioned it, John, the most important thing was playing confident. You know, we practice hard, we're into physical fitness, but when we went out and played, we were hell-bent pace, never looked over our shoulders. And, you know, one of his big sayings was, a shot created must be taken. So if a guy creates a shot for you and you're in rhythm, you shoot each and every time.
And obviously one guy that's playing confident right now, and he's playing better than any other guard in college basketball, is Shamari Ponds. You know, he was outstanding last year as a freshman, but he has been on an absolute tear over the last week and a half. Was there a moment along the way, and I know he was a highly touted kid coming out of high school, where you stopped and said to yourself that, you know, this kid's better than I thought?
Yeah, actually last year, John. I watched him in high school quite a bit. I liked him, of course. He was a heck of a player. I watched him on the AAU circuit. Always played, you know, played well, and I enjoyed him. But, you know, I thought there was going to be a bigger adjustment of him stepping up to the college ranks, just physically, because, you know, when he walked on camp, he's very skinny. But he's worked really hard, gotten stronger. We've been on him, and he's done a great job of picking up his pace, you know, being sharp in small spaces, being tight and sharp with the basketball. And this last 3 weeks, he's really, really been so much more efficient offensively. He's been locked in defensively. And I think his decision-making of when to be an aggressive scorer and when to be a playmaker has been superb.
Now, it's interesting to me because Ponds is getting, you know, the majority of the attention, and for good reason, during this streak. But very quietly, Justin Simon is playing like one of the more complete guards in the Big East. He's filling up the box score. And, you know, you watch the kid and you say, if this guy has a jump shot, he has a chance to be a long-time pro. How pivotal is that in terms of refinement from the end of this season to the start of next one in terms of his long-term prognosis?
Yeah, he's played great, John. And like you said, he's worked really hard, and he will continue to get better with his jump shot. You know, he's got incredible instincts. He's a beautiful athlete. Got long length. He can run, plays in the open floor, defends really well. We can put him in the post. So, you know, even the last game against Marquette, you know, he played well. You know, missed some free throws, but look at the end of it, at the box score, he's almost sitting on a triple-double. And that's his activity level, his energy. And he just plays an overall game. And it's so important for us. We have a short rotation, so we kind of exchange ball handling responsibility between Justin and Shamari.
You know, you mentioned you have a short rotation, and, you know, I was at a Notre Dame practice once, and Mike Bray said, you know, depth is very overrated in games, but it's underrated for practice. You've had some obviously some personnel issues this year with injuries and other things. What has it been like dealing with essentially a 6 or 7 man rotation?
Yeah, and I agree with Mike Bray. It also is underrated until you have a few injuries. And then you really have no choice. I think what we've really done, John, we've scaled back practice a little bit, been a little bit more efficient, not as long. The guys who are playing minutes, we try and get them some rest, but really try and cover the stuff we need to in a short amount of time, whether it be our scouting report, our defensive assignments, and then going through our offense, just keeping it sharp and efficient. But, you know, like, it's not the ideal situation. But again, you know, it's kind of like each game you go in with your nice little game plan, and probably a minute or two in, that's out the window and you're making adjustments.
St. John's head coach Chris Mullen joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Red Storm, winners of three in a row, will next play DePaul in the middle of this week. And, you know, the landscape for St. John's is going to change because people know now how capable you are. How much has the dialogue with your team been different over the last 5 days or so now that, you know, they have some confidence and, you know, they're not going to be able to sneak up on anybody anymore?
Yeah, and I think, John, the dialogue, the energy is amped up, of course. That's what winning does. But our dialogue is the same. You know, as we talked earlier, very similar games. We just caught a break here or there, made a few free throws, made a few layups, and wasn't always at the end of the game. You know, the few of those games that we lost, there was parts in the, you know, middle of the second half where we could have created separation that we didn't, and that came back to bite us. So our dialogue, you know, our daily approach is very similar. But there's no question that there's more energy. You know, winning does that. Your food tastes better, you sleep better, everything. Life is just better when you win.
You know, Chris, we talked when you first got the job, and you talked about, you know, wanting to get older earlier if it was possible, and you did that this year with two transfers. One guy, you know, we talked about a minute ago in Justin Simon, and another in Marvin Clark. You have two transfers sitting out again this year in Mikey Dixon, who had a big freshman year at Quinnipiac, and also CeeDee Keita. What types of roles do you think those two players will have a year from now in comparison to what Simon and Clark are doing this year?
Very similar, John. I think they'll play minutes. I think, like you said, Mikey's a shooter and a scorer. You know, so if you can shoot and score, you're always going to find minutes on the floor. And CeeDee Keita, much like Justin and Marvin when they came in, we don't have a guy like that on our roster physically. He's an NBA-type athlete. Got great quickness, great lateral quickness for a big man, and he's a guy we haven't had that we can play in the paint. He's gonna dominate the paint, offensively and defensively, run the floor. So for us, probably the first traditional big that we'll have since I've been here.
Well, you know, one of the things that's positive is, and you know, we don't know obviously what's going to happen with Marcus Levet moving forward, but I think one of the things that's positive is, you know, your team has proven right now with the nucleus that's currently playing is that it can be competitive with the Big East in the Big East. That's been proven. I know the real only player of significance that you're going to lose out of that core is Bashir Ahmed. With the returning nucleus in place and the two guys we just talked about, Mikey Dixon, CeeDee Keita, what do you think is a realistic thing to shoot for next season considering all the hands you're going to have on deck?
Yeah, I think natural progression, John. You know, I think we'll take a step forward this year from year two. And then next year we got to do the same, and how big a jump that is depends on some of the things that you don't control, with the injuries and how the roster shapes up throughout that season. But if we're healthy, we have, like you said, all those guys back, I think we'll take another step forward.
St. John's head coach Chris Mullen joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. St. John's winners of three in a row heading to this week's game against DePaul. You know, Chris, you know, one of the special things about being the head coach at St. John's is the chance to coach in Madison Square Garden. And when you coach in Madison Square Garden, you get elite opponents. For somebody who's been on an Olympic gold medal team, who's played in the Final Four, and who's also been one of the 50 greatest players to ever play in the NBA, where did beating Duke rank among Chris Mullen's all-time greatest accomplishments, considering it was at the Garden?
Yeah, a lot of things factor into that, John. It was probably my best win since I've been here. Look, Coach K is a dear friend of mine. I met him when I was 17 years old. I've admired him from that day on. He recruited me heavily out of high school, stayed in contact with him. He was with us in 84 when I played for Bali Night in the Olympics, and he was on the coaching staff in 92 with the Dream Team. So I've got great admiration and respect for him. So that was special. Of course, being at Madison Square Garden, everything is special there. So that's a treat in itself. But probably more important, and this is one of the really true treats for me to coach here, is my coach is at every game. And that, to me, is amazing. It's the greatest feel I have when I look behind me or at Karnasek Arena. Coach Karnasek is there, cheering us on, being loyal, and just still being the leader that he is. I was just telling someone today, you know, as we were going through that losing streak, coach was making more games. He doesn't really come to the night games.
Right, right.
Because we were losing. Coach Karnasek, who was at every single game. We had an 8:30 game here against Creighton. And I looked up, and I didn't really expect to see him because at night he usually, kind of shuts down.
Right.
He's sitting there. And because he knew we needed him. And so he's still a huge factor and a tremendous figure here. He's taught me more about life than basketball, but I use both of my team. The guy's amazing, and we were all just lucky to have him.
No, and I'm sure he's looking forward to the Big East tournament in a couple weeks, as is everybody else in college basketball. It's one of the best couple of days in the sport. And, you look at your team right now, what do you think Madison Square Garden's going to be like if your team over the next 3 weeks can continue to improve? Because you've already proven that you're capable of beating anybody in the country.
Yeah, it'll be rocking, John. No matter what state everybody's in, when the Big East comes to the Garden, the place is rocking. I think we've proven to ourselves, more importantly, I think most people understood, even in those close games, the teams that we walked off the court, and they might beat us by 3 or 5 or 7, they understood what we could do. More importantly, we're getting it done. We've got great confidence. We've got some momentum, and it's up to us to maintain that.
Final thing, Chris, what's the biggest thing between now and the Big East tournament that this team needs to improve on to be playing its best basketball coming up at the world's most famous arena?
I think maintain our defense has been wonderful. We've held a lot of teams under their average, so maintain our defensive intensity and then maintain our shot selection. The one thing we've done a better job of is controlling the latter part of the second half, whether it be with a lead, controlling offense, or if need be, getting stops and getting out in the open floor.
Chris, appreciate a couple minutes. Know how busy you are. Good luck against the Paul. Stay healthy, and I look forward to staying in touch along the way.
Thanks, John. See you soon.
We'd like to thank St. John's head coach Chris Mullen for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is brought to you by Geico. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to Geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. And it's time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And we are going to start right now with our audience, who obviously is getting more and more ready for Selection Sunday. And our first question is going to come from James Blanton. And it's, John, who wins the Big 12 regular season championship? It's going to be Kansas or Texas Tech. Texas Tech has a lead, but until I see another team at the end of the year standing on top of those standings, no pun intended, I am not going to bet against Bill Self in Kansas. They've got to get Svi Mihailuk, though, back on track. He is in a bad slump, 2 of 16 from 3 in his last couple of games. Our next question comes from True Maroon Nation, and it's, is 5-1 down the stretch good enough for Mississippi State to go dancing? If not, what would it be? Look, I think 5-1 gets Mississippi State into the NCAA tournament. Mississippi State, for all intents and purposes, lost as difficult a game as you're going to lose this time of year when it fell on Saturday at Missouri. They had the game. They were 5 in overtime. For me, Ben Howland's done a remarkable job with this team. Don't have a lot of needle-moving wins in the non-conference portion of the schedule, but still in position right now. If they can beat Tennessee or Texas A&M and avoid any other bad losses to play their way in the NCAA tournament, but you got to beat one of those teams, and you also can't have any bad losses. Our next question comes from my good friend Joseph Nardone. He goes, how is Vermont so good despite not having Anthony Lamb? Will they ever lose a conference game? Vermont had a big comeback last week against Albany. Still undefeated, obviously, in the America East. And now you have to look at Vermont as being a trendy pick to maybe win a game in the round of 64. How do they keep winning? Got one of the more underrated coaches in college basketball in John Becker. Again, Vermont without Anthony Lamb, 11-0. Remember, this team almost won a game at Rupp Arena against Kentucky earlier this season. Now that we've got your social media needs all set, let's get to some Nuggets.
Five good Nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, X marks the spot. Xavier is 8-0 this season in games decided by 5 points or less. The Musketeers' execution is on another level right now in tight situations. Nugget number two, the table center, Cassius Winston, 35 assists in Michigan State's last four games. He's averaging approximately two more assists than he did last season. Nugget number three, Super Shamari. Off our interview with Chris Mullen, what can you say about Shamari Pons? During St. John's three-game winning streak, he's averaging 34.3 points per game while shooting 54.5% from the field, 50 from three, and also 84 from the free throw line. Simply ridiculous. Meanwhile, Nugget number four, no basement. Why is the Big 12 the best league in college basketball? Iowa State's the last place team, and it's beaten Texas Tech, West Virginia, and Oklahoma. Say no more. Nugget number five, silent yet successful. Nebraska has quietly won 19 games. That ties the most that Tim Miles has ever had in Lincoln, which occurred during a 13-14 season. They're staying in the discussion for the NCAA tournament, but they'll have to do work in New York at the Big Ten tournament. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Tuesday, Oklahoma and Texas Tech. Sooners really struggling. Wednesday, Villanova at Providence. Kentucky at Auburn. First time the Wildcats have ever been on a three-game losing streak under John Calipari. And Thursday, Cincinnati at Houston and then Arizona in the rematch with Arizona State. Like to thank St. John's head coach Chris Mullen for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.